Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Good afternoon. Welcome. Good to be with you today, and I hope you're having a great day today. This is Pastor Al Davis and your host for Live with Pastor Al. Just getting started here, trying to do several things at the same time. And let's see here. We're still experimenting with our Periscope broadcast and trying to get going on there. So we have that operating, and hopefully it's going to work here today. But well, got me off track here a little bit. Started the program just a few minutes before I was actually ready, but good to be with you today. And let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer here this afternoon. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. We just pray your blessing upon the program. Use it for your glory, Lord. We pray that you would just watch over us now. And we just thank you again for opportunities that we have to serve you. Use the program today to be a blessing, encouragement to somebody. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good to be with you this afternoon here. And, of course, I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And you can certainly visit us at our church. We meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, so located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, right where Interstate 77 and the Ohio Turnpike cross. And we'd love to have you. We have a Bible study there tonight from 7 o'clock until 9, an informal Bible study. And then our service is there on Sunday. Sunday morning, I'm currently preaching through, well, actually during our morning Bible study, I am looking at Old Testament prophecies concerning the Messiah, and then looking at how they're revealed in Christ in the New Testament. So that's been an interesting study there. You can see how the early Christians, you think you read through the book of Acts and you see how Paul and Peter before him preach, and they used the Old Testament scriptures. They didn't have the New Testament at that time. They used simply the Old Testament scriptures to be able to show that Jesus was the Christ. And so we're actually during the morning service at 11 o'clock, I'm currently preaching through the book of Acts. We're in Acts chapter 20 right now. And then on Sunday night, we're in the Psalms at 6 o'clock on Sunday night. So I encourage you to come out and visit us there at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, meeting at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. You can find out more about us if you go to our webpage, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And there's links there to our church webpage. You can also find us on Facebook at Live with Pastor Al. And so certainly encourage you to check those things out. And pray for us as we endeavor to get the Periscope functioning and working. And I believe we have somebody on right now. So glad to have you there on Periscope. But wanted to touch on a couple of things today, but before I forget, you can always give us a call if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. You can call us 888-677-9673. That's a toll-free number, 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air here this afternoon with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We'd love to hear from you here this afternoon. A couple of other things I want to make mention of here. We talk at from time to time here on our Friday afternoon program, and certainly on our Sunday evening program. If you're not aware, we're on Sunday nights from 11 o'clock until midnight, and we talk from time to time about different things happening in the news. Like we talk about current events in light of God's Word, and about a month or so ago, maybe it's 2 months now. It's not exactly sure, remembering exactly when it came out. But what happened is that the Obama administration had, this might be actually as far back as May or early June, had put out a directive ordering all public schools across the nation, kindergarten through university level, any public school, had to open up its restrooms and its locker rooms to anybody that wanted to use them regardless of their biological gender. And if a boy, for instance, in ninth grade decided today when he came, showed up at school that instead of being Johnny, he should be Sally, and so he wanted to go in to use the girls' restroom, and during gym class he wanted to go change and shower with the girls in the girls' locker room. According to the Obama administration order, directive, the school would not legally be allowed to prevent Johnny from calling himself Sally and going into the girls' bathroom or locker room. And, thankfully, there has been there's a judge, a U.S. District Judge Reed O'Connor, in Texas. There was an injunction. It's a nationwide injunction against this Obama directive, and this was filed because Texas and a number of other states had filed suit against this. Now, this is good news. The Obama directive, which was issued in May, any school that had a Title IX funding, which is basically just about every public school, going to be ordered to have to allow people in. And no doctor's note, findings from a psychiatrist or something like that. The whole idea was that what would happen is that Johnny could show up at school and say, "I feel like I'm a girl today," and that was all that was necessary. Or Johnny's mom or dad or guardian could call the school and say, "Well, Johnny really feels like a girl now," and that's all that was necessary. Well, this Justice O'Connor in Texas, U.S. District Judge, he found that the Obama administration had overstepped their authority in issuing this directive. Texas and a number of states argued that references to sex in the Title IX regulations referred only to biological sex, and that the Obama administration's interpretation is, quote, a radical reauthoring of the term. And so the states also said that the administration is describing the documents as interpretive and or interpretation and guidance, but that they're actually coercive. And we talked about those things on the program when I discussed this issue. There was the threat of losing funds and all manner of coercive things in there for something that was just supposed to be suggestive in some sense, providing guidelines. So Justice O'Connor this past Sunday, I believe it was when the ruling was issued, concluded that there's a strong likelihood that the states win their case, and he justified an injunction. That's what we've got right now, an injunction. He found that the administration didn't follow the proper notice and comment process for the guidelines. Well, that's true, because they just put them out. It was a mid-level bureaucrat functionary of the Justice Department, along with a mid-level bureaucrat from the Department of Education, that co-authored the thing and sent it out, of course, under the guidance and blessing of the Obama administration. And Justice O'Connor also determined that the law is not ambiguous, and he said it cannot be disputed that the plain meaning of the term sex is used following the passage of the Title IX meant the biological and anatomical differences between male and female students as determined at their birth. And then he said that the guidelines are not just recommendations. They're, quote, compulsory in nature. Now, this is great. This is a federal judge with common sense. I mean, everybody understands what's going on here. Everybody understands that when a baby is born, you could tell whether it's biologically male or female, and this is just common sense. It's common sense that you don't make a situation where a 16-year-old or 14-year-old or 17-year-old boy in junior high or high school or whatever can go to school one day and with no doctor's guidance, no nothing, just his own words say, I feel like I'm a girl today. I want to go in and shower in the girls' locker room. Anybody that thinks that some junior high or high school boy would not take advantage of that and try that doesn't understand junior high and high school boys. This is common sense stuff. This is stuff that people know and understand. And yet this was a pushing of this to basically hold 99.7% of the population at ransom them in a sense, their dignity, their modesty, their privacy, and all that for about 0.03% of the population. And so this is a ridiculous ruling, statement by the Obama administration. So thanks to Justice O'Connor for doing this. Now, there's more information on this. I'm not going to go through all of that, but I think this is a tremendous victory that we have, but it's not permanent because, see, this was just an injunction. This might make its way up to the Supreme Court one day, just like a recent case that ruled that in the state of Virginia, I believe it was, that a transgender student could not force the school to make allowances for that. I think it was a girl in this case to be able to go in into the boys' restroom, boys' locker room, and they had put an injunction on that as well. And these could wind their way up to the Supreme Court, which is why God's people really need to be concerned with what's happening in the political realm, because the next president is going to appoint immediately one justice to the Supreme Court. And of course, that was Justice Scalia had passed away suddenly, unexpectedly. And so right now, the court only has 8 members. And if things go to the court right now, let's say that this case that Justice O'Connor ruled on was a Supreme Court at the Supreme Court, and they were a draw 4-4 on this, it would uphold O'Connor's position here. The lower court would be upheld in the case of a tie. But the next president is going to put a Supreme Court justice there immediately. And so let's say that Hillary Clinton became president. She would immediately put a leftist judge in there. She's basically said that's the type of judges that she would put in there. And it would be quite likely that the Supreme Court ruling on this case would go 5-4 overturning this judge's injunction and finding that the schools had to allow whoever to go into whatever bathroom that they chose. And that's just one vote is all it would take there. Now, let's say that Donald Trump became president. Well, he's put forward a number of candidates that suggestions that he would nominate as a Supreme Court justice. All of them have been seem to be pretty good, mostly constitutionalists rather than leftists and revisionists. And so let's say that he puts one of his justices in there. And so this case here that we're talking about made it to the Supreme Court. It could easily go 5-4 upholding the ruling that said that the Obama administration overstepped its bounds, and that would remove by the Supreme Court decision all of this transgendered bathroom access nonsense. That would remove it and from the public schools. They would not have to contend with that and be forced by the administration or by the government to allow Johnny to use the girls' restroom and bathroom just because he says he's a girl that day. And so you can see how close the Supreme Court is, and that's why we need to make a difference. And that leads me to something else I wanted to mention here too. And of course, you can call in if you've got a question or comment about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word at 888-677-9673. If you are listening on Periscope crashed, so we're not on there right now. There's an interesting article, and I linked it on our Facebook page. You can find Live with Pastor Al at Facebook. The title of the article was How Donald Trump Divided and Conquered the Religious Right. And it's kind of interesting article here. What I'm looking at that I found the very interesting thing on this, and this kind of ties in when we're talking about the courts. He divides the evangelical conservative Christians in this country into four major categories in relation to Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton. And the first category he has are the anti-Clinton voters. And these are the evangelical Christians who basically are going to vote for Trump because he's not Hillary Clinton. And they're going to be those who may not agree with much or most of Donald Trump, but he's not Hillary Clinton, and so the aspect of a Clinton presidency would be more repugnant, more to be feared, considered more dangerous, more destructive to our nation and to our religious freedoms than a Trump presidency. So that would be the anti-Clinton voters, people who hold their nose and vote for Donald Trump so that Hillary Clinton does not become president. That's number one camp. The number two or category. Number two category is the anti-Trump voters. And this are those who they believe that Trump is not suitable to be president. They don't like some of his positions, some of his past conditions. They don't care for him, and so they will actually vote for Clinton because even though she's certainly been caught in numerous lies, tainted with incredible amounts of scandal and corruption. Better to go with the devil you know than the devil you don't know type of an attitude. That's the anti-Trump. So they'll go for Clinton just because they know what they're going to get. And even though it's not going to be pretty for evangelical Christians. The third group is the never Trump voters, and this is the segment of evangelicals who will write in a candidate, vote a third party, not vote at all, rather than vote for either Hillary or Trump. And their opposition to Trump, they have their principles and their conscience, so they just cannot bring themselves to vote for him, but they also can't bring themselves to vote for Hillary Clinton. And then there's the fourth group of evangelicals, which he identifies as the true Trump supporters, and these are some of those who have been supporting Donald Trump since the primaries or early in the primaries, since Donald Trump won the nomination, they've jumped on board enthusiastically supporting him, and they love him. And so, you know, people have to determine, I guess, which group you're in there if you're an evangelical. I put on Facebook, I find myself in the number one category there, anti-Clinton voters. You know, I know what she is and know the things that she's done, know what she stands for, and I consider her a very real and present danger to our religious freedom in this country, to our way of life. And so, I understand that a third party candidate, which is why I'm not the never Trump voter, and I have some friends who are never Trump voters, but I understand that, I remember that when President George H.W. Bush ran for re-election, it was due to Ross Perot pulling votes away from him that helped Bill Clinton win and become president in the first place. And usually, not all the time, but generally speaking, when you vote third party, you tend to hurt the candidate or the party whose positions are the closest to yours. When you vote third party, you tend to help the candidate whose positions are the furthest from yours. For instance, the American Constitutional Party on paper has some excellent party platform. Actually, when you look at the Republican Party platform, from a conservative Christian point of view, it's pretty good too. But the American Constitutional Party candidate, right now I can't think of the name of the guy, but he's not going to win the election. He's not going to be the person being sworn in January next year. It's going to be either Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. It's going to be one of those two. And so when you look at that, you have to ask yourself, if I vote my conscience, what is my conscience telling me about how my vote is going to affect this country? Is my vote going to help somebody become president that is going to appoint justices that are going to uphold the Obama administration's attempt to force schools across this country to open up their bathrooms and locker rooms to anybody and everybody? All they have to do, boys can say, well, I think I'm a girl today, and go in there. Is my vote going to help put those kind of justices on the court? And, you know, it's not just the Supreme Court. It's all these federal judges, because it was a federal judge that just put this injunction in place. It's a federal judge that put that injunction in place in the Virginia case. It's a federal judge that also, if you're following some of the things here locally in Ohio, that just struck down the thing for the Golden Week, where people can vote the same day that they register for about 1 week during Ohio's early voting session. And I don't want to get into all that right at the moment here, but that's just rife for voter fraud and abuse. So, you know, what kind of judges are you going? I guess that's why I'm an anti-Clinton voter. I am so concerned about the makeup of the Supreme Court and the multitude of federal justices across this country. I do not want to cast a vote in November that is going to help Hillary Clinton put leftist judges in these on the Supreme Court and in these federal judgeships. I just don't want to see that happen. I think that's a very, very grave danger to our country, to us as Bible-believing Christians. And I'm supposed to be salt and light in the world. Well, I could sprinkle some salt on the table and say, well, see, the salt's out of the shaker. Or I could sprinkle the salt on the food that's on my plate that might not taste so good, and I put a little salt on it, tastes a little better, and I can say, well, I can eat it now. But maybe that's not the best analogy, but salt has got to be used. And salt, yes, it retards, it can be used as a preservative. It retards spiritual decay in the spiritual sense as we act as salt. But I heard somebody make some comment recently talking about salt also improves flavor. And if we want to improve the society around us and help push back spiritual decay, we need to be salt. We need to get involved. And we need to consider not play checkers with our vote, but play chess with our vote. Not just looking at what's the next thing going to happen immediately, but what's going to happen as a result of our vote. And in chess, you got to think a little further ahead generally than you do in checkers. And you know, we need to be playing chess. We need to consider our country is in spiritual danger. There's a survey that just came out. Unfortunately, I don't have it in front of me, but the young people in this country more and more are not believing in God. They don't have any church association, and we're in many respects losing the battle. So we need to do what we can to try and further the cause of Christ in the public sector. We need to be concerned what we do, how we behave, that we can represent Christ, do the best that we can to retard spiritual decay, and we need to be considerate with our vote. Is it going to retard spiritual decay? Is it going to further it? Or is it just going to do nothing? And those are decisions you have to make. I can't make that decision for you. Like I said, I have a friend who's a never Trump voter, and you know, that's his right. You know, it's he has absolute right to that. But I also have my right to be in the anti-Clinton voting category, and you have your right to be where you're at. And let me encourage you: get informed and pray about what your vote is going to do. Don't let me tell you what to vote. Don't let somebody else tell you what to vote. Pray and ask God for direction. I know the election's a couple of months off yet, but we need to think about these things. We need to make a difference. Our country is founded by godly men. Not all of them were born-again Christians, but they had a respect for God and His Word. And when we more and more and more turn our country over to the ungodly, we can't be surprised when the ungodly do ungodly things. Well, thanks for listening today. Join us next time. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.